Well, Ciara, to say it's been a busy year is an understatement. But before maybe we just look at what's happened for you on the pitch during 2021, let's just remind our listeners a bit. You, of course, were capped by the Republic of Ireland much earlier in your career, and then you sort of went out of the game a little bit. Then you've really rediscovered your love for football again. Of course, you've had your studies as well, so it's been a busy time. So if we go back just first of all, your early days playing soccer here in Donegal, obviously it was an ambition to go as far as you can, and at a relatively young age you got recognised.
Yeah, Chris, like Donegal, I grew up on Ballyroon pitches, only a stone's throw away from the house, and you know, played there from four or five, joined the teams as soon as I was able to. It was all boys teams at that stage. Anthony Gorman Soccer School was down at the bottom of the road. So if you talk about, you know, having the facilities around you, you know, everything was within walking distance for me. And as my mum said, I just always loved football, loved kind of all sport, but soccer was always the one at the front. And then played with Ballyroon the whole way up to the under 16 boys. And then at that stage, I was kind of on the Donegal women's development under Breege McGinty. And then from there, you kind of get scouted for the Irish trials and schools as well. So, yeah, I got picked for the schools under 15s team when I was 13, I think. And then that same year, I got picked for the Irish under 17s team with Noel King. And I suppose from there, you know, I was on the under 8 setup then from the age of 13 right up till the age of 19 in college. And at that stage, I joined. I'd gotten on a scholarship to UCD, the Ad Astra Academy. It was excellent. It had just started the year before me. I actually heard Killian Morrison was up in UCD playing, so that's how I kind of had found the scholarship. And then in my second year in college, I got asked in under Sue Ronan for the senior women's team, and made my debut against America at the age of 19. And yeah, kind of then it was all a whirlwind for about 4 years playing with the senior women's team. And then unfortunately, just at the end of that kind of years in college, the 6 years, it was just all getting a bit too much to balance, and made the very hard decision then to walk away from football at that stage.
Yeah, now some people may not be aware that you have qualified as a doctor, and obviously that is very time consuming, but you came, I suppose, back into football again with a Northwest connection with Sion Swifts a couple of years ago, and it's really been an upward curve since.
Yeah, so I joined Sion back in, you know, the start of 2019, and really just went in with the mindset of, you know, just go back and enjoy it. There's no pressure here. Just, you know, just join the team. Seems good. The Northern Irish setup is probably a little bit below the national league we have in the south. But it was a great setup in the club. The team, you know, some very good players there. The management were excellent. And yeah, just went into the league. We had a great season. I was playing more of an attacking role, so really was enjoying myself. But as soon as I kind of got back on the pitch at that stage, you know, I was trying to think of what is the next thing to do here. And that's when I decided to try and move back to Dublin. I got a job with RCSI lecturing, which allowed for a lot more kind of dedication to football. It was a 9-to-5 job with no weekends. So yeah, I got back playing with Shelburne and, you know, just kind of set my eyes on trying to get back in the green jersey, and luckily that happened for me back in June when I got selected, and I've been on the team now for 6 months, and you know, we're on an upward trajectory, hopefully with this World Cup qualifying campaign, and just a lovely way, Chris, for me to finish the year by getting on the pitch against Georgia, you know, to get my 16th cap, and you know, hopefully the start of many more to come over the next years.
And that game against Georgia, an incredible scoreline, 11-0. I mean, the perfect tonic for the end of the season. And so much to look forward to, that big qualifier game away to Sweden. And it really would be fantastic if you could go on and qualify for the next World Cup.
Yeah, look, I think we didn't do ourselves justice against Slovakia just before the Georgia game. So I think all the girls were going out, and we knew that Georgia weren't going to be, you know, as strong as some of our other opponents. But sometimes that's where teams like us don't perform. But we just, you know, from the get-go, I know we were very fortunate in the first goal, but the girls just stepped it up. And, yeah, look, to come on in a game like that too, I think I only stepped in my own half about twice. We were, you know, I think we had 80% possession. So it was a great game to come on in. We have a big game, yes, as you said, against Sweden in April. Unfortunately, the World Cup is a little bit harder to qualify for than the Euros. Obviously, there's less countries, more countries able to qualify, so it's hard to get out of Europe. But yeah, we're just really hoping we can get a result against Sweden and the same thing against Finland, and do one better against Slovakia and then have ourselves in that second position and get to the qualifiers, which are happening in New Zealand and Australia in 2023, which, you know, that would be some treat, but that's what everybody's ambition is at the moment. No easy task, but we're looking forward to the challenge.
Now, here at home, the domestic league, the Women's National League, is really coming on leaps and bounds. There's a lot more publicity about it, and the standard seems to be very much on the way up. And for Shelburne this year, you actually won the league title on, you know, quite dramatic circumstances. So it just remind our listeners about there were two games on at the same time, and you didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah, so I suppose we take it maybe 6 weeks back for the end of the season. We played Piemont, top of the table clash, and we had heavy defeat against them. So they were in prime position to win the league. We knew ourselves at that stage we wanted to get to the cup final, and we also didn't want to lose any more games and just make sure that we had to do everything that we could to not drop any points and see what happens with Piemont. So Piemont actually could have won the league with two games to go against DLR. But they drew, and DLR saved a penalty. So then all pressure was going into the last game. What happened was if Piemont won, they would win the league. If Piemont drew and we won, it was going to go to a head-to-head playoff. And then if Piemont lost and we won, we would win. So we went into the game being like, look, it's a week before the cup final. It's against Wexford. Let's just play our best and let's just get the 3 points. So, you know, we can say to ourselves that we did everything that we could. And Piemont went 2-0 up, and then so I think our management, we didn't know this in the pitch, but they were like, oh, you know, Piemont just want to win. Then half time it was 2-2, so we remained hopeful. We were 2-0 up. We scored our third in the 49th minute, I think. So we were buzzing, and then all the ultras and stuff at our game, like, there were flares going off different times, and I was like, what is going on? Because that was not really relating to what's happening in the pitch here in front of us. And then at one stage, Kylie Murphy, the captain of the Wexford team, turned around to me and was like, is Galway winning? And I was like, I think so. And Chris, bear in mind, Galway had an issue scoring all season and then end up beating Piemont in the last game of the season, 5-2 and 5 absolute screamers goals. So yes, but the trophy was over in Peora Park in Piemont, and had to be taxied over to Talk Park with 5 minutes to go in our game. So it was honestly the highs and lows. It was such a great game to be involved in.
Absolutely. And then you also had it didn't quite work out as well, but yeah, you were also then involved in the cup final.
Yeah, look, cup final, I think a week after, it went from being the only thing we were focusing on to kind of being the last thing we were focusing on. I think the celebrations and just even the high of winning the league, like, you know, Shelburne have been pushing the last few seasons. We came second last year, the girls have come second the year before. The stalwarts like Pearl Slattery, Rachel Gray, and Noel, you know, like, they really, this was like peak of their club career. And then going into the cup final, it was more of a bonus we were thinking of, you know. But again, preparations were all done right. We went into it, you know, thinking that we definitely still had a chance against Wexford. We knew it wasn't going to be easy. We had battered them on the pitch the week before, and look, Wexford came out all guns blazing. And we just couldn't get up to their level. We were missing a little bit of kind of legs up front. We lost Emily Whelan to Birmingham City during the year, and I think we just missed her on the day in the final. But the better team won. I think I was obviously disappointed for losing the cup final, but I think looking back in the season now, you know, we had a great season, and it was just that then going straight into the Irish camp and finishing the way we did. It was a very nice way to cap the year off.
And just going back to the international scene, you know, it's great to see the crowds that the Republic of Ireland have been getting at Tallaght Stadium. You know, several thousand, there's been record crowds now. I'm sure you see a big difference between the whole setup now and when you were involved some years ago.
Absolutely, Chris. You know, cause I actually was involved with the Irish team about two and a half years ago as the team doctor, actually, for some of the underage setups. And then was asked to cover a few days in a camp for the senior women's. So when I went in for that, it was obviously strange as being an ex-player and still, you know, someone who can still play. But just seeing the setup and seeing the level that all the girls are at, and especially the girls over in professional clubs, you know, even at that stage, so about 2 years ago, I was like, wow, you know, like, this has gone on like, you know, 5-6 levels since I was last involved with the team. And it's just great to see, and you see it in the league and in the coverage of the League of Ireland TV. TG Cahir covered the last two games of the league too, the promotion, like women's sport in general, I think is just, you know, taking off after years of fighting for it. But, you know, there's still a lot of way to go with coverage and with, you know, even just standards within the league. But we're getting there, and look, it's great to see Sligo Rovers join the league next year too, open up the whole North West as well. So, you know, if there are girls out there in Donegal too looking for a senior club, you know, Sligo's not too far away, and it's a great league to play in. It's very competitive.
So, obviously, on an international level, you want to get to the World Cup at the Shelburne level. Are you signed up again for next year?
Not yet, Chris. Not yet. I'm just going to see what happens over now the next kind of Christmas period and transfer windows in a lot of leagues. So, look, I spoke to a few people. I'm trying to make the move to get up to the level of the other girls in the Irish camp, because, you know, when you're playing in the domestic league, you have to do loads of extra work to kind of bridge that gap between club level and international level. Whereas if you're playing in a professional setup, you know, that gap is much smaller. And I see it with the girls when I'm in training with the Irish team. Like, you know, you just can't compete at an amateur level when the rest of your teammates are training 3-4 hours a day, 5-6 days a week. And yeah, that's my goal now. I want to see how far I can push myself as a player. So yeah, that's the plan.
And finally, great to see that on the Irish panel, there's also other Donegal representation. So it shows the strength of the game here and people coming through.
Absolutely. I think they said Donegal's taken over the team. Yeah, no, it's so good to see and even play alongside Roma and Amber. I think there for the last 10 minutes in the Georgia game, it was all Donegal down the right side of the pitch. So it was pretty special. And our strength and conditioning / sports scientist, Kikini from Donegal Town, has also been involved the last 2 years, but she is moving to America in January to work with the US Women's Federation. She's got a big job there in the sports and medicine department. And then Denise McElhenney as well, who's an ex-player from Donegal. She's the team ops as well for the boys set up and sometimes the senior women's. So there's always good Donegal blood everywhere.
And, you know, every reason then to be optimistic that things will just continue to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, that's it. Look, you know, just keep the head down, keep working hard. And I think everyone on the team now is just looking forward to 2022 and see what happens with the campaign and just see if we can finally be the first team to qualify for a major competition.
Great, Ciara. There we'll leave it. Many thanks for joining us, and we wish you a happy Christmas.
Thank you very much, Chris. You too.